be able to start serving again here, 50% capacity on Friday. You know, we all wanted this to be a happy day, and we're all celebrating and everybody's getting to open up again, but it doesn't feel that way. There's still so much uncertainty, and I don't think that there's a whole lot to celebrate. My name is Rob Chase, and I'm the owner of Digress Wine in College Park. It's great that we can open, and that's going to make some people happy, and that makes me happy, but I also feel like I don't want to project anything that's, you know, too celebratory right now.
After 2.5 months of coronavirus restrictions, a group of Florida business owners got the news they've been waiting for this week. The state is moving into phase two of its reopening, and bars can finally serve drinks again if they seat customers at no more than 50% capacity. But in the hospitality capital of Orlando, celebrations are muted. As the city grapples with issues raised during days of protests sparked by George Floyd's death at the hands of police in Minnesota. The reopening also comes amid spikes in new cases of COVID-19 in Florida. I'm Judith Smelser, creator of Orlando Wine Blog, and this is Unwinding, following the stories of Central Florida's wine professionals via Skype as they navigate the changing world of COVID-19.
That was great news on a rather kind of grim day here in Orlando. Hi, this is Melissa McAvoy, co-owner of Swirlery Wine Bar with my partner, Damian Roman. You know, we were all talking about June 1st, you know, that day was kind of put out there for a while, but then in the midst of everything that's happening, I just kind of lost any hope for it, really, and I didn't expect it to happen. So I was totally shocked when I heard it.
You know, I've been getting, honestly, a little bit more frustrated than I've probably let on. I was anticipating a, you know, kind of first of the month sort of reopening, which obviously didn't happen, but it's close enough. But with all the protests and everything going on, which have gotten, you know, a little bit out of hand here, I drove through one when they shut down I-4 last Sunday, I believe, and it was absolutely crazy. So I anticipated that pushing off phase two. I think Mayor Demings had spoken to that. So I was not in a great mood yesterday before this news. So it was frustrating, and you know, I still don't know what that looks like if, you know, all of these protests do in fact spike the cases around here. I mean, you never know. And hopefully this will stick and we don't need to go back. But like I said, it was just a nice kind of out of the blue for me.
With the George Floyd murder and the riots and protesters and everything going on this week, it's been a very odd set of emotions, whether it's like angry or scared or wishing more could be done sooner and faster, to now it's just kind of like emotional exhaustion, I guess you could say. My name is Christina Peebles. I was laid off on March 14th, I think, from 4 different jobs here in Central Florida. Not only the whole country, but several other countries around the world are supporting this Black Lives Matter movement. I think we're learning what that means and what that means for myself, specifically as a white person. I used to kind of relate to the All Lives Matter thing. And then once they point out, like, okay, so if somebody's house is on fire, do you send fire trucks to all the houses on the street because all houses matter? Does everybody get a fire truck? And it's like, no, you know, you need to take care of the issue at hand. And that was really eye-opening to me. there's been protests almost every day. There's been curfews. There's been riots, especially here across the street from me, at the Millennium Mall. My boyfriend went down to Pulse that day and dropped off cases and cases of water and snacks. So they all started marching down to City Hall and no one took the water. So Berto came to the house, chilled out for a little bit, then turned around, went and got the water, went and took it back down to City Hall. And then he just said it was just very tense, a very us versus them feeling. And he's like, I just couldn't stay. And then later on, we saw that there had been tear gas and stuff after that.
This is Melissa. It's nice to see all the people come together and stand up. And but at the same time too, you know, I'm not really for the violence whatsoever. So, you know, I have mixed feelings about it all. We were a little nervous one night only because the police actually came to our business on Monday, and we weren't here, but he went to our neighbor across the street, Harris, and basically warned us about violence in the neighborhood. And so that was a little bit alarming. And then oddly enough, like Damien stayed here past curfew working on music. And we walked out the door and there was like 8 cop cars and yellow tape everywhere. I think maybe Circle K maybe got robbed or something. I'm not even 100% sure, but they questioned him and then said, we'll escort you back inside your business so he can alarm the place and then leave. So, I mean, that night, you know, when you have your neighbors telling you police are coming around, warning, it was a little bit alarming. But we're keeping an eye on each other. You know, we're all friends here in the neighborhood, the pizza place across the street, and the landscapers across the street. And so we're just, you know, mindful of all of each other, you know, to help each other out.
Duck and Drake, our food truck, had their generator stolen a few days ago. So I've updated the cameras that we have. And, you know, we had some older kind of locks. I've changed everything out. And really, that's all we can do. You know, we've got an alarm. We've got the cameras in place and inside and out. So I don't know. I'm constantly checking those. But beyond that, hopefully that's all we have to deal with. And I don't anticipate anything particularly crazy happening here, but there have been a lot of break-ins in College Park, so it has made me nervous. And we'll see. If things get really out of hand, then I might end up just posting up here until it's all done. I don't know. I mean, if I have to sleep here and, you know, protect the place, should this town completely go to hell, which I don't anticipate at all, but it's a thought, of course, watching everything that's happening in the news, and it's hard not to imagine these kind of worst-case scenarios, and all I can do is cross my fingers.
This is Christina. I don't think marching is right for me. I have crowd claustrophobia, and I'll support in other ways. I mean, it's been definitely weighing on my heart a lot. I've been, you know, spreading information about locally owned African-American businesses and, you know, stores. And I think supporting Black business is going to be huge. But also, I became a member of the NAACP. Anybody can join. I think I am getting to know our local leaders, whether it's, you know, mayors to senators to police chiefs, and really seeing, you know, how they're reacting to certain things. Signed a lot of petitions, but I never know, like, kind of what happens with that. I've always been an old soul, and I've always been able to have really uncomfortable conversations, especially with my family, and do it in a calm manner and try to understand their side. But I told my mom, I was like, as much as you think that you've strive to do better than the generation before you, you have to learn not only to hate racism, but to be anti-racist. You have to seek out that information to educate yourself on things that you inherently are doing wrong that you didn't know you were doing. My mom was just like, man, I'm really gonna have to retrain just the way my verbiage goes. She's like, I just didn't realize. So now I've done my best to, like, if I see Instagram posts that have really informative information about little things like that, like sending those to her, just so she sees that it's not just me saying it.
You know, thankfully I've got some pretty precocious kids, and I love being able to discuss these things with them. We all took a day and went up to the beach on Tuesday, met up with my parents in town. I took my nephews. It was great to get out of town. I feel like I haven't done that in years now. But, you know, we did have a lot of discussions in the car about what we've been seeing, what it looks like. And, you know, I think there's an excitement and appreciation for the fact, you know, them being almost 16 and 18, that, you know, they really are seeing some social change and the results of what, you know, some of the protests, you know, the properly executed ones can actually contribute to the world in general. And it's been something that's given us a great opportunity to discuss, you know, race, sexuality, all these politics and things that we don't normally think to talk about. I don't know that people are really comfortable right now with so many bizarre things happening all at once. You know, we see activity all day long now, whether it's related to this or not, just police screaming up and down Edgewater. And this weekend was really soft. And I don't know if that was, you know, a direct result of what's happening around town, and if people were just not feeling great about getting out, or if it was just a natural kind of flow. You know, I'm hoping there's a little bit more enthusiasm with people being able to get out to some of their favorite places. And in the neighborhood, you know, we are fortunately a favorite for a lot of people, and I'm so grateful for that. I just hope that everybody does feel safe and comfortable enough to be out.
This is Melissa. I feel like maybe people are going to be, you know, maybe less willing to go out. Possibly they might not want to get caught up in the traffic, or a lot of roads get closed during these protests, as you probably know. I think it is going to deter business just a little bit. Yeah, I mean, it's just, I don't even know how to even describe it, you know, to be honest. It's just been so wild. Everything that's going on in our country, you know, there's been, you know, so many protests, some violence, it's, you know, COVID, it's just all so crazy. You just don't even know. Like, okay, I heard that the numbers aren't really, like, coming down, to be honest with you. I heard, like, we're having, like, some of our highest days. And yet we're still moving forward. People are protesting. Thousands of people are gathering. I guess the main thing is just, you know, be healthy, right? Take care of yourself. We're just doing everything that we can to make sure that you know, our staff is healthy first and foremost, and that, you know, we're disinfecting everything here. We have sanitizer everywhere, and, you know, we're constantly wiping down the tables, and it's going to be constant, you know, washing hands. And after you serve each guest, you need to wash your hands. So I'm probably going to be the hand wash police.
I'm not particularly concerned. I think, you know, we'll be doing everything to protect ourselves as well as customers. And I don't imagine a whole lot of people will be showing up in masks, but if they choose to, that's fantastic. And that's probably something we're going to have to do. Really, it just comes down to proper spacing and sanitizing of any area as soon as somebody's gotten up and left. And, you know, really beyond that, and, you know, just taking extra precautions, I'll have a lovely cleaning lady friend come on by a little bit more than we have been doing, because we'll have a little bit more activity here. And really beyond that, it's kind of, you know, just like anywhere else, everybody's got to go out at their own risk and assume, you know, that it's still here. You could still contract it anywhere you go, but we'll do what we can just to keep our place as clean as possible and make sure everybody does feel comfortable. And and I think that might take a little bit of time to figure out too what does specifically bother people, whether it is spacing or just sheer quantity of people, and we'll adapt as needed.
This is Christina. I know a lot of small business owners who do own bars, and they are hurting. And I understand that bars want to be open, but from personal experience, going to a bar on Sand Lake when they could open as a restaurant, get people drinking around each other. We've all been caged in our houses for 12 weeks now, 13 weeks now, and you expect us all to go out and drink and not hug our friends, hug our bartenders that we haven't seen in forever. Yeah, we're supporting small businesses, but with alcohol involved specifically, that's going to be hard.
This is Melissa. So I'm going to have to basically greet them as soon as they come in the door and tell them where to sit. I might be saying hello to them from behind the bar, but they have to be greeted immediately, you know. But I mean, the tables are going to be all spread apart anyway. I don't know what it's going to be like, you know. I don't know if we're going to get like slammed, you know. If I just don't know how people are ready to go out and go drinking. We'll see, right? We'll open our doors and we'll see what happens. It'll be like a slow wave, you know, back to normalcy. I don't think it's going to, you know, come as like one big wave, you know?
I've gotten a lot of calls and a lot of interest already, so I think we're going to be pretty busy. And pretty busy at 50% is kind of a leisurely evening, so I don't anticipate it being too hectic, but I just need to make people aware of the fact that they may not be able to hang out unless there's, you know, weather that's cooperating with the outdoor seating. And we've got a couple tents and picnic tables in addition to all the patio seating and umbrellas, but if it looks like it does right now outside, nobody's going to want to do that. I'm curious to see what it does mean financially, if that retail kind of component is now relaxed a little bit and people are just looking to get out and have a drink. You know, we may take a little hit there. However, everything we do by the glass, you know, is really better for us financially. Of course, there's different margins involved. So it's also more labor intensive and it's more costly. And also need to have another person in here, you know, just to make sure that everything goes smoothly. So I think ultimately it will help considerably. You know, we've been doing 12 to 7 for so long now that those couple extra hours and those wines by the glass can really make a huge difference, especially, you know, now starting to go into summer, which always makes me nervous. It's perfect timing. So I didn't expect it at all, but I'm pretty grateful at this point.
This is Christina. Marriott has officially furloughed us till October. So they offered us a severance package if we would want to choose to quit. It would make our unemployment null and void and our insurance null and void. But if we choose not to take the severance package,
We're not guaranteed a job when we come back either. Either way, we're not guaranteed a job. But they're still opening on July 1st.
So I've chosen not to take the severance package, to continue on unemployment
while still looking for a job,
because I love that job. I know that job is going to be a killer job. And I know if I stick it out, they're going to call me back before October. You know, if you're opening July 1st, I'll probably make it back end of July, beginning of August, something like that. What I'm worried about, though, is running out of money from the government, the $600 a week payment. So I'm going to try to pay this month's rent and next month's rent with the payments that I get. So that'll at least get me to August. And then I still have enough in my savings to get me through August, September. So I think we'll be okay still, but we still want to keep looking for jobs. But it's really hard when you go from making $200 to $300 a day to looking for jobs and everything is between $10 and $13 an hour.
This is Melissa. You know, okay, so I'm really grateful that we made it through this, but I feel like we have a long path ahead of us to recovery, because so many people still need to get back to work, right? So many people in our community here in Orlando are furloughed or fired or, you know, just unemployed. So that's a long road to recovery, to get everyone back to work, to make sure that our economy is sustainable here in Orlando.
The climate of everybody in town, I mean, it's really hard to consider what it is exactly that I need to be saying. And I don't know that I'm going to be really pushing the fact that we're open right away. I think that we'll have enough natural sort of business to fill that in while we just kind of get rolling again and get back in the groove. I honestly didn't anticipate it going this long, maybe a month. So, yeah, wow, even considering how long that's been right now, it seems at this point like a blink of an eye, but it's been kind of excruciating looking back. I'm just excited to tell people yes again. I've had to say no so many times that even the simple act of pouring a glass of wine for somebody is novel at this point.
Yeah, just that element of, you know, opening up a great bottle of wine for our guests and, you know, just elevating, you know, their experience, their evening, and just, you know, just those good vibes.
It'll be great to have some people in here, to see some friends again that, you know, we really haven't been able to spend some time with, and just get back to a little bit of normalcy here. It's been great, and I've loved the support, but, you know, going from a place that's often pretty busy with a good crowd, hanging out and kind of leisurely drinking some wine to retail and me spending a whole lot of time by myself, you know, gets old. So I'm happy to have some people hanging around again.
This is Christina. Looking back at like the first week, I just remember the optimism that I had. And I was like, everything's going to work out. You know, this could be way worse. There could be famine. You know, it's nothing like the disasters and the catastrophes that we've had before, like the Great Depression and different plagues that we've had. And I still believe that. We're not nearly to a point of starvation in this country or mass graves or anything like that. So even though this is the biggest pandemic and biggest event that's ever happened, maybe in history or at least in our lifetimes, it's still not that bad. There's still hope in me.
This is Unwinding. Thanks to Christina Peebles, Rob Chase, and Melissa McAvoy for sharing their stories. We'll continue to follow them as the COVID-19 story unfolds. Unwinding is a production of Orlando Wine Blog. You can subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also follow us on social media at Orlando Wine Blog. Thanks to Orlando musician Julian Bond for providing original music for Unwinding, Amy Tardiff for editorial guidance, and WMFE for distribution and promotion assistance. I'm Judith Smelser. Cheers, and thanks for listening.